This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL 91.9 FM, KenaiSoul.na. You're tuned into the Kenai Conversation. I'm your host, Sabine Pooks. As the fireweed gets redder and the air gets colder, Kenai, Soldotna, and the Kenai Peninsula Borough are all gearing up for election season. There are two spots open on the Kenai City Council, three on the Soldotna City Council, and three on the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly. We'll be interviewing the candidates for those elections throughout the month of September, ahead of October 5th. For our first set of interviews Wednesday, we spoke with two of the five candidates for Kenai City Council, candidate and current interim City Councilwoman Victoria Askin, and candidate Jim Duffield. Also running for the seat are James Baisden, Alex Dothit, and Deborah Sonart. We interview them next week. Later in the program, we also spoke with Sammy Crawford from the Central Peninsula League of Women Voters about why it's so important to vote in local elections. Here's our Wednesday interview with Victoria and Jim. So, first off, it would be great to have you both introduce yourselves and say why you're running for the seat. Victoria, why don't we start with you?
I started serving for the city in 2008 with the Harbor Commission, and then in 2015 I went to planning and zoning, and then in December 2020 I applied with a panel of nine people vying for the position and was appointed as interim. I take the responsibility very seriously. I think it is something we need to do to keep our city alive and vibrant. And I really like the direction that the city's going and would like to keep it going that way.
What made you get involved with city government to begin with? What was kind of the catalyst there?
We've been here for about 36 years, and our children were raised, and I wanted to give some back to the community.
Got it. And what about you, Jim? What would you introduce yourself and say why you're running for this seat?
Sure. I'm Jim Duffield, a local business owner and involved in the community. I'm raising two children here, and we absolutely love it, one at KMS and one that just started at Kenai Central High. I have become more and more politically active over the last number of years, especially seeing what's happened nationally and realizing we've got to take care of ourselves locally. We've got a great Christian conservative community, and I just want to see it going in the right direction and try to do my part as a citizen, to step in and play the part for a little while and then go back to being a citizen again. And this was an opportunity to do that. I saw that just a week before the deadline that they had the open seats, and there really wasn't anybody registered yet to run, so threw my hat in the ring.
Got it. So, Victoria, you've been on the council for several months after you were appointed to fill the vacancy in December. What have you learned from your time on the council so far? What has it been like serving in that role?
I've really enjoyed it. I especially have enjoyed the common sense approach that our council takes with problems, especially with the current COVID situation. We've allowed our citizens, not allowed, but I mean, we've decided that our citizens should make their own decisions, their own informed decisions. And I'm really proud of that, that we're considering our citizens and not just acting maybe not as responsibly as other cities we've seen. And I really like the things that our city runs very well, and I like some of the things that we did, like the Shop Local program and the grocery program, and I'm pretty excited about the Triumvirate Theater is going to be in Kenai now, and we're looking forward actually to maybe some waterfront revitalization, and I really like that, and the fact that we can maybe bring more business to Kenai.
Yes, all of those are things I am definitely going to want to ask you guys about. So thank you for bringing a lot of those things up. Jim, what have you seen kind of on the council that you would have maybe done differently? Or is there any issue in particular that you've been watching that makes you want to have a voice on the council?
Well, for the most part, I'm very pleased with our city council. They've done a good job. Victoria, thank you for stepping up and stepping in when Robert had to step down. And we really appreciate your service there. And we do have a community that seems to be not set on government mandates, and they want people to have individual responsibility that people can decide better for themselves than government can decide for them. And I really like that. We do have very positive things happening in the community. I've had to go and speak a few different times in support of things like the Shop Local program and that, and those worked out really well. We've got, like Victoria said, there's an opportunity maybe for some waterfront revitalization. Big plus is it looks like maybe some funding, you know, or the project to stabilize the Kenai Bluff is coming through, and there's some work starting on that. We want to see that continue to go good. There might even be some local bike trails down towards the bridge access. So I'm in support of all those sort of things.
Very cool. You mentioned the Shop Local program. There's been a lot of COVID relief funds that have come into cities and boroughs, and the city of Kenai now is eligible potentially for almost $2 million in funds from the American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA. Do you have thoughts of where you'd like to see those funds go? Maybe Jim will start with you on this one.
Thanks. One I'm really not thinking that much about. You know, it's a good this, bad that kind of thing.
What do you mean by that?
Well, sometimes there's strings attached that you don't want to have to participate in, and sometimes you got to say, no, we don't want that if we're going to have to do this, or you're going to put those kind of restrictions on us. I don't fully know that much about these the other money that's coming available, if there are strings attached. If there aren't, well, then, okay, we, as the city council, we would try to do something very positive like the Shop Local program. I thought that program could have been expanded to be much better than what it was for more smaller individual businesses. It was a success. My business participated, and we've got, you know, a few people that took advantage of that, and it worked out well. I would have to see more about the program, which I have not, to be able to say whether I would really support it or not, or where I would think or want to hear that things might be utilized to better serve our community.
So would you have chosen a different path for the CARES Act funds based on what you were saying about kind of strings attached then?
The way I thought Kenai handled the CARES Act funds very well. They got right out before the borough, before Soldotna, anybody else, and they said, we're going to get those monies to these businesses and individuals that are hurting. And they did right away. And it worked really well. Soldotna took a long time. Well, one program they got out pretty quick, but the others they kind of took a while. And the borough, it took a long time. I think it's because that the people we did have on council worked together with the city manager to make sure, and the mayor, of course, to make sure that the programs and the way they put them out worked better. I don't have any criticism of that.
Are there any kind of groups of people or industries that you think are hurting, especially right now, that aren't being helped that you'd like to see be helped by funds like this?
I think some of the, of course, the tourism type businesses are hurting. The restaurants, it's really difficult for the restaurants. We helped a couple of our clients that owned restaurants and had to shut down for a while. We helped them. We informed them when these things became available so that they could take advantage of it and get going again. Some of them have been successful. A few others have not. One of the big things I'd really like to see happen, and I was working with a group, was to get a bowling alley opened back up. There's a lot of work over there that need to be done, but the building still is a great building. It's good shape. It's just it's going to take a lot more money than what we thought it was going to take to get it operational again. Now, should the city be involved in that? I think it should probably be private individuals, but the city could support it. There's fees that the city charges for certain things that should be looked at. There's a lot of different fees that are charged. Most of them are pretty reasonable. Some of them are not so reasonable. And you have to look at those things periodically as the economy goes and as business goes. I think there's a lot of things we can look at.
Victoria, I'm going to turn the same question to you. Where would you like to see that next round of relief funding go?
I'm going to echo Jim in that I really like how we, the city, handled the money that we got so far. In hindsight, of course, there's things we could do to improve the Shop Local program and even the grocery program. I do know that our tourism industry actually has been enjoying an increase and are doing fairly well, as well as hotels and restaurants. But of course, that's going to come to an end this fall. And I don't know either if there's any strings attached to this money that's coming. I would like to see more input from the citizens where they'd like to see the money go, because I frankly don't know where I would put it at this point, because everyone, I just about without exception, seemed to benefit the last time.
You both mentioned strings attached. Can you elaborate a little bit on what you're particularly worried about there?
Some of the monies that was given came with a caveat. You had to pay it back within a certain amount of time, or there might have been some improvement that you had to make that may or may not have, you may or may not have received the amount of money you needed to do that. And so there was a, it was kind of a, yeah, we'll give you the money now, but you're going to have to do something for us later. And that's the difficult part.
Yes, my concern would be, that, along with a lot of government programs, is, okay, we're going to give you this much, and you have to match X percent. Well, the city may not have that to match. It would be more of my concern. We've got a very solid budget right now, and something like that could disrupt it pretty bad. And so we don't want to see the city go from a positive cash flow situation, or, you know, a black number on the bottom to a red number on the bottom. We don't want that.
While we're kind of on the subject of COVID and relief funds, you know, you both said you liked that Kenai has reinforced the idea of keeping, you know, COVID precautions personal choice. But also, of course, like we were just talking about, the city has benefited greatly from federal relief programs after or in the face of COVID. Kind of what do you see as the city's role in the COVID pandemic, in a crisis of kind of this nature? Maybe Victoria, we can start with you this time.
I think that the city's role is maybe just to monitor and oversee, and of course give our citizens the opportunity to make the decisions they want. I've always felt that it was a matter of mutual respect. If many of our small businesses, that people live there also, you know, they live at their businesses, and it's up to them if they want people to wear masks. And I think people that don't want to, they have the opportunity to say, okay, I'll call you for your service, or I'll put my mask on. It's just a matter of respect. I don't think there should be any judgment either way. I mean, some people have different opinions. We all get our information from different sources. As far as the money, I really do would like to see more citizen input. Some of the money that came with the CARES Act did have designations. A certain amount had to go to first responders. A certain amount had to go to nonprofits. And I do know that some businesses did not trust that there weren't strings attached in situations, and so they refused the money. And I think maybe just better educating our citizens regarding the money that does come in.
Thank you. And Jim, same question to you. What do you see as the city's role during the COVID pandemic, during a crisis like this?
Well, first off, I would hope that we could keep city services as normal as possible, do what we can to support the people who provide those services, keep them safe, out of harm's way, but continue to provide all the services that we already provide, and to support the community, which is what the city's supposed to do. As far as going any further than that, that's again up to the individuals, the citizens. If they need help from the city, if there's a program that they think might be beneficial for others, bring it to the council, the mayor. Let's talk about it and see if there is a way to put something together that can help the community better, especially when the economy is failing and the federal mandates are causing people to shut down. What can we do as a city to override some of those mandates or find a loophole to be able to support our own citizens and community first? Just like America first, Kenai first, okay?
You mentioned that your business kind of benefited from that Shop Local program. What did you learn from participating in that program about the way these funds are allocated, or is there anything you would have done differently based on that experience?
It worked. My business has been established for a while, JMJ Tax Relief. A lot of our smaller clients, we had three or four probably that didn't qualify for the minimum income in their business to receive any assistance. That was a shame for them because they were really hurting and it was hard for them to get work for the type of businesses they had at the time. Then others, just the time frame ran out. We found out like days before the program was over that there was a program. So there wasn't enough time for some of the people to be able to make an application to participate. And I think that's the reason after their first round of supporting businesses, there was a lot of money left over, because there just wasn't enough businesses that put in. Maybe the amounts that were available to businesses could have been higher. The thresholds could have been different. Some of the businesses were new, or someone had bought an existing business just before things crashed, and they had to immediately shut down, and they had no history to be able to support participating in the program. Again, this is just an example of some of the things that happened that I recall.
While we're on the subject of business and economic opportunity, and Victoria, you mentioned Triumvirate Theater. Council members seemed really excited about the economic opportunity of having a theater in the city. How would you like to see the city increase the economic opportunities for its residents? Do you have any ideas about that?
I can't really think of anything right off other than businesses. I want to see more small businesses come into Kenai, and I'm not sure what needs to change to entice that yet. I'm still learning.
Jim, do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, luckily the city doesn't necessarily have a lot of control over that in regards to, we've got a lot of empty spaces, empty buildings, but when you make an inquiry about, okay, hey, I want to start a business, I get a lot of people come asking that, you talk to the people who own it, they don't really care whether they rent it or not, and the rents are pretty high for such a small community. So it makes it difficult for a new business to come in that way. I mean, as a building owner, you know, of course you want to get as much as you can out of it, but in these times, just to try to fill some spaces up, it might be nice if some of the landlords could be a little more negotiable with people or work with them a little better to help businesses get started. That's one way I see frequently.
And Victoria, I know you were on the Planning and Zoning Commission. Was there anything that came up in your time there that, you know, relates to this sort of thing about kind of creating more opportunity for business owners, or did that come up on your time there on the commission?
That didn't come up so much as what I remember was I was kind of in the throes of the whole marijuana right after the rules were established, and then we were making decisions around that and the controversy around where they were put and within how many feet of different places. And again, it was difficult because you just never knew where was a good place and where wasn't. And so there was a lot of discussion and disagreement and agreement about where people could actually do their grow businesses and the retail businesses. And so that was the big thing that that I dealt with during that time.
And while we're kind of on that subject, you've been on planning and zoning, you've been also on the Harbor Commission. What have you learned from those experiences that you take with you into the Kenai City Council?
It was working with citizens and with your fellow committee members or commission members. We all came from different backgrounds, so it was really nice. There was a lot of diversity there as far as making decisions about that were brought to us, like with the Harbor Commission and the dock, and then planning and zoning and all of the zoning and the different rules and the different things that you can do, and just the different perspectives has been really fun.
Got it. Jim, you're on the Homer Electric Association Board of Directors, and you're president of the local chapter of the Alaska Miners Association.
Not current. I'm still a member of the Alaska Miners Association I support, but I'm not the current chapter president anymore.
Got it. No. How have those experiences readied you for this role?
Well, it's with the Homer Electric Association Board. When I put in for that, I immediately started getting feedback from our other members, and it was really interesting to find out some of the things that were affecting people related to Homer Electric. And I had misconceptions going in. Now that I've been on the board for, this is my second year out of a three-year term, I've realized and found out that Homer Electric is a very well-run cooperative, and we're very fortunate. We've helped to be unable to lower the rates a little bit recently, thank goodness. There were some things out of Homer Electric's control that caused some of the rates to get high in the first place, but they've worked with them as best they can to keep them down. And it's been very rewarding into really getting to know our community and the whole peninsula better in how energy's spread out and how things are functioning, and it's just been an eye-opening experience. I've really enjoyed it and enjoy working with the people.
Recently, and Victoria, you brought this up, the city has been talking about plans to revitalize the waterfront down by Bridge Access Road, and the city council actually tonight is considering a feasibility study on a project to determine how it can incentivize growth there. Do you have any thoughts on that? Maybe, Jim, we'll start with you this time, on waterfront revitalization in Kenai.
Yes, I sat down with the city manager last week, Paul Ostrander, and we had a great discussion. We went through the budget and looked at the projects that are on the record now and went over what the city sees as a potential revitalization and opportunities down along the waterfront. And, you know, it's not all city-owned property. A lot of it, probably most of it, is private ownership. But the canneries have pretty much, there's one cannery left open right now. And unfortunately, the future looks like they're, you know, that's probably going to be the cannery for at least the near term of the next 10 years plus. So there's a lot of unused space down there that could be better utilized. We talked about some of the ideas they had, and it looked all very positive from a business perspective. It wasn't something that was going to generate a lot of income for the city necessarily, or the city to control, or create a lot more cost for the city, but it was private investment ideas that could make it very nice, sort of an added community for the community. Because there were some housing ideas and some business ideas, and I think it would be a great idea.
Victoria, how about you? Have you thought about this project?
I actually am really looking forward to seeing it happen, because, as Jim said, there's a lot of places that are empty there, and there could be pretty great utilization of all of that. And I'd like to see it become kind of a destination for the city of Kenai. We don't really have something that draws a crowd, and that, I think we could make that into something pretty amazing.
Related to tourism, you're thinking?
Some to tourism, yes, and then it's something for the locals. You can that, you know, a place that we can go to.
Mm-hmm. Jim, you mentioned bike paths or walking paths. What are some infrastructural improvements you two would like to kind of see happen in the city? What are areas, infrastructure, that you think could use kind of a boost?
Bowling alley. A bowling alley. A bowling alley. A bowling alley.
Is that your, that's yes, your campaign slogan, bowling alley?
Well, you know, not a city-owned bowling alley, but yeah. I don't, if the city wanted to do that, but that, I don't think that's necessarily their direction. That'd be parks and recreation, wouldn't it? I think we could do more with the golf course. You know, it does have summer use and it has winter use. The greens and that sort of thing aren't always as good as they could be. I think they could do a little bit more with the golf course and probably promote some larger events there, that sort of thing. The bike trail system, you know, I love biking. I don't get to do it as much as I used to. We've got bike trails along the major roads down along bridge access. We don't. And if you do bike very much and you ride from Kenai all the way around Soldotna, whether you going down the spur here and then go back around and come up K Beach, it's pretty scary, even for a big guy like me riding across bridge access, because you've got all that wind, you've got all those cars flying by there so fast. And I understand a number of years ago there was funding to add the bike lane onto the bridge. I don't know if that's still out there or not, but you know, you're dealing with federal wetlands to try to do any sort of an additional path. But there's things that could be done to make that so you can make that round circle and have a 26 mile loop. You know, it's there's things all around the community that I think we can probably do better. The parks that we have are nice. I don't think they're fully utilized, like the Memorial Park over here off of Forest. They had to shut it down because there were some riffraff, but there's some nice camping areas in there and some things that the improvements they made are great. It's utilized a lot, but you still have that path area with those little camping areas that can't really get used in that way now.
What about you, Victoria? Thoughts on infrastructural improvements you'd like to see happen?
Well, I'm with Jim. All four of my kids graduated from high school with bowling scholarships. So, yeah, I'd like to see that come back also. And I also want to see a bike path on bridge access. I have ridden that road on a bike and I've walked, and they're both awful because of the wind and the vehicles. And then one of the pieces of the revitalization is I'd like to see a really nice boardwalk where you can do a scenic walk instead of walking the neighborhood. Or those are the things I'd like to see.
We've been talking about some kind of specific programs and you know, ideas, but I'd like to ask kind of an open-ended question, and that's, what do you think is the biggest problem facing the city right now? And who would like to start with that one? Don't all shout at once. Jim, maybe we'll start with you.
Well, I would, you know, one thing we haven't really spent much time on, I did mention it early on, is the bank stabilization around Old Town. Old Town is underutilized. People, you don't want to go over and spend millions of dollars on a business or building something on that bluff over there when it's creeping back so many inches or feet per year. It's just not good. I think that if we've got the bank stabilization project taken care of, and that's a multi-million-dollar project, it's a very large project, but when you look at the design of it, it's something that's going, it is going to work, and it's going to stabilize that thing into the future. If that's taken care of, I think we will see investment come back into Old Town, and we can create a really nice tourist destination for people and a nice place for the locals to come, and restaurants and shops, and just the view is amazing over there. In all that area, that's probably one of the most underutilized parts of the community as far as that goes. Other than that, I mean, you know, we continue with the trying to be a conservative community, conservative Christian community, and give people, let people have individual responsibility.
Well, as you mentioned, that, you know, a project like that would cost the city a lot of money. Do you have any kind of sense of where those funds would come from, or what you would kind of cut to afford kind of, you know, funds for a project like that?
Well, they've been working on it for a number of years. According to the city manager, there are some funds lined up. There's some big federal funds that can be utilized. I don't know if there was any, I don't recall whether he said there was any private investment, but the city even has a little bit of money set aside for it. There are some, they don't want to do bonding. We don't have hardly any bonding. We've been paying off most of our bonds that we do have. But if it looked like, you know, we were going to be able to get some commitments on some other things, maybe the city might consider doing some bonding. We would want to see that be the last thing we had to do. But I think it's extremely important to get the project on the board, let the community see it, see what they think, and if everybody's in agreement, we go forward with it.
Victoria, what about you? What do you see as kind of the biggest issue facing the city today?
The waterfront and the fishing industry, sadly, Kenai has been known as the, you know, the king salmon capital, and with these recent rules that NOAA has issued now cordoning off a bunch of the places for drift fishermen to fish, I think it's really hurting our industry, and our waterfront is going to be, it's going to just fall into ruin if we don't start now looking at ways to revitalizing it. I also would like to see, I know that the stabilization, you know, we're getting to a point now where money is becoming available and we should be able to start moving on that project in order to save a lot of our old town buildings.
If you're just tuning in, this is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. And we're talking to Kenai City Council candidates, Jim Duffield and Victoria Askin. We'll be talking to them for about 15 minutes more. So if you have any questions that you'd like to ask, you can ring us at 283-8414. So we've kind of alluded to this in a couple different questions. We're talking budgets. What do you think the city could do to pare down its budget, or what do you think could use more funding? How would you kind of like to see the way we think about our budget change, or is there anything in particular, Victoria, that you have thoughts on budget-wise?
I don't know that there's a lot of things we can change. There's a lot of fixed costs that are involved already. Of course, we depend on some tax generation for some of our revenue in order to provide services, and I do know that with the since COVID occurred and with the COVID money that's been received, along with the increased tax revenue that we've gotten from Home Depot, because everybody is remodeling now because they're stuck at home, we actually have diverted having to raise our mill rate, at least for the foreseeable future, because of the increased revenues. So I don't know that there's anything that we can really pare down at this point. We provide a good level of service, and with that comes a lot of fixed costs.
Yes, if we were running a budget deficit, I could see looking to pare some things down, definitely. I mean, there's always some savings that you can make in community, but after sitting down with Paul and looking through the budget, what they have, where they've been, and what's projected into the near future, the city is on solid financial ground. It really is on solid financial ground. So I don't really see that there's, you know, a huge amount of waste anywhere that we need to just go after waste. We've always got to be looking at that sort of thing. Now, to tell you something that I know is going to cost some money coming up in the very near future, we can all see it, the spruce beetle kill. I mean, you just look around the community at how many trees are having to be taken down, and there's a lot of trees on city property that are going to have to come down this year, next year, over the next 3 to 5 years. The community is going to look very different there's going to be a lot more open space. We've got to make sure that we get those things out of here to keep from having a major fire. And if a fire does break out, we don't want it to burn the whole city down.
Beetle Kill is an interesting example. The city and Kenai and Soldotna and the borough have kind of worked together a little bit on the Beetle Kill project. And there's, you know, the hope that if the borough gets federal funding to address Beetle Kill, that funding could also be used by the cities. What are some other ways in which you'd like to see Kenai work with Soldotna or work with the borough? Are there any other things you can think of that would be a good place to have a partnership between the entities? Jim, you're smiling.
Well, you know, Kenai goes is a very large land area, the city of Kenai. So it stretches all the way over to just to the top of the hill above Soldotna. So we've got a lot of responsibility in a whole lot of area, and Soldotna has a way more population than we do. So I would say, you know, anything where we see, say with this Beetle Kill, and that we look at the, you know, the trees that have to be taken out or thinned just to try to control the potential for any fire or anything like that, major disaster, you know, working with Soldotna together and the borough to try to take care of that sort of thing is very, very important. As far as community goes, we've got with our high schools and our middle schools and all the sports programs we have, it's awesome. I'd like to see us try to do more together as the two communities to improve our sports programs even more. Whenever we have, say, Pop Warner, my son's playing Pop Warner still, whenever we have those other teams come down here, they spend quite a bit of money in our community to come down and play a game on a weekend. You've got hockey, you've got volleyball and the other sports, winter sports. Lots of people come in for the snow machining and stuff. So any of those type of community events that have died off during COVID, some were growing quite well, like the Tutsumina race in the winter, you know, and they had to take a lot of that out. It would be nice to really see us kind of try to bring that back as two communities and a borough together, so that everyone can enjoy it and we can get some outside folks down to come and enjoy it with us.
Victoria, turning that question to you, is there any place you'd like to see there be more partnership between the cities and the borough?
I'd like to see more cooperation, community activities with the two cities. I think that would maybe generate more involvement, more participation. There's already a local emergency planning committee that is borough and all of the cities within the borough, and they work very well together to, you know, cooperatively provide services as required. So I think we can always find other places.
And I know the idea has been floated to potentially have a dispatch service partnership between Kenai and Soldotna. Do either of you have thoughts on that or whether you'd like to see that happen?
If we were to consolidate the dispatch service, it could save some money. It could be very beneficial. You know, the police departments, emergency departments, they work together all the time already. We've got the Spur and the K Beach, and, you know, they work well in who sends who, where, when, and why, along with Nikiski as well, you know. So I see that there's a lot of coordination already. It could potentially save some money if it were all consolidated, because the equipment that you need to operate a facility like that, instead of programming two places and having two big places, you could have one. I don't know that it would cut down on, you know, like anybody lose a job, because you're still going to need, for the most part, the same amount of dispatch, but you could save money definitely in equipment and some other types of costs.
What about you, Victoria?
I'm for that. I'm in favor of doing a consolidated dispatch area. I also know that Kenai and Soldotna are talking about sharing some water treatment. That would be another big savings, especially if they could have a common system where they could share the cost of that, and that would be another good place to save money.
Before we go to kind of closing remarks, you know, Victoria, you mentioned the fishing community and how Kenai has changed, or how its role as a fishing community has kind of changed over the years, how we've lost processors. I think that brings up an interesting question of identity. And I know cities talk a lot about identity in terms of how they're marketing themselves, or kind of the foot they put forward into the world, as communities that bring a lot of tourists as well. What do you see as the identity of the city, or what would you like to see as the identity of the city? It's kind of an open-ended question, but.
Now that some of that land has opened up at the waterfront, unfortunately at the expense of the fishing industry, you know, we could be a city with a view, and we could have make that into quite a viewfront property and activity place.
Well, I think Victoria's right about that, definitely. I want us to be known as a friendly community that's supportive of the people who come and visit, supportive of our other community members, one where you don't have government overreach dropping a heavy hand telling you will do this and you will do that and that sort of thing. I think the community reputation will be represented by how those who visit us speak about us now. And so keep doing what we're doing and just keep trying to do it better. And God bless us all, you know, maybe hopefully his hand will continue to bless us and protect us.
And now I kind of want to go to closing remarks. If each of you has anything you'd like to say to people who are listening to voters, why don't we start with you this time, Jim?
Sure. I put my name in the hat because I saw that at the time, 2 weeks before the deadline, that there just weren't anybody else putting their name in, and that concerned me because I want to be involved and I want to make sure we've got good people out there. I know the other candidates. This is the first time I've met Victoria, and you know, I had heard really good things about her. All the candidates that are in this race are good candidates. I don't think the community can lose regardless of who wins. And, you know, I've got a business. I'm busy. I will serve if called. I'm glad to do that. And I wouldn't have stepped in if I wasn't prepared to do it. But I'm fully supportive of whoever the people decide to put in office. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. And what about you, Victoria?
I've been here for 36 years, and we raised our family here, and we've made this our home, and I really appreciate the trust that was put in me with the appointment in December, and I'd like to continue doing and serving the city. I really enjoy what I'm doing, and I would appreciate the support. Thank you.
Well, thanks to both of you for being here today. It was great talking to you. We're going to take a short break, and then when we're coming back, we'll be back with our interview with Sammy Crawford from the Central Peninsula League of Women Voters.